Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today, Genesis 22. Isaac spoke up and said, "Father." "Yes, son," Abraham answered. Isaac asked, "We have burning coals and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering." Dear friends of Christ, in our Old Testament lesson today, of course, we're dealing with Abraham and his testing. Now, he was regarded as a great man of faith. The church has always regarded him that way. And of course, it wasn't always that way, though. At first, God called Abraham from a land called Mesopotamia, which is Iraq today. And before leaving that land, he was not, before realizing that Yahweh was the only true God, it wasn't always that way. He had worshipped many gods. And so Abraham was a believer in many gods. He had moon gods and star gods and sun gods. And those were the days when he lived in far away Mesopotamia before God called him. However, God did call him, and God spoke, and he said, "Leave. Leave your gods. Leave your false gods. Leave your people. Leave your land. Leave everything behind. Come to the Holy Land, the land that I will show you, the land where I will build for me a people for myself. Leave and then go." So leave and go to the land I will show you, to this Holy Land, go at the age of 75. Can you imagine that? For all of you who think you're old and your ministry is done and your service to the Lord is done at 75 years old, God calls Abraham and says, "Pack up your belongings, forget your past, forget all that you've done, go, leave." And he did, and he went. And he let go of all the things in the past, and he gave his life into the hands of the living God. And God made Abraham a promise. "I'm going to make of you a great nation." He did. "I will bless you." He did. "I'll make your name great." It is. "And so that you will be a blessing. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Leave. Go. Follow me. Abraham did. And of course, he now has a future with God and the future of God's blessings in store. What he didn't know is the future of God's blessings was in jeopardy. It was in peril. The promise was in peril. 25 years had now passed. Abraham now is 100 years old, over 100 years old. And from the time when God had told him to leave and go, 25 years had passed when he had a baby. And God kept his promise. The baby born of Sarah, who is 90 years old, a baby at 90, you say, "Well, that's impossible." Yeah, it is, right? It's a miracle. They had a baby at 90 and 100, named him Isaac. Okay? Now about 12 years later. So Abraham's about 112. That's when it all happened. God took Abraham from Mesopotamia to Calvary. How so? Well, I'll explain that, but first, our theme: God will provide a sacrifice. Isaac was the sacrifice, the promised heir, the one from whom Christ would come. God said, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I'll give you all the lands to your descendants. And Isaac had to live. He was the only descendant. The only one. If you don't have Isaac, you don't have Jesus. It all ends right there with the promise. Very important that Isaac lives. And Isaac was the great ancestor of Jesus. He was a fulfillment of dreams, of years of dreams and years of prayers from Abraham and Isaac. Years and years and years of prayers from Abraham and Sarah. And of course, it was also, Isaac, the fulfillment of God's plan to send a Savior. Isaac's important. And that's why it was such a shock to Abraham when God called him and then said, Abraham, take your son, take your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you. You know what I think this is? I think Abraham thought Isaac was Jesus. That he was the Messiah to save the world from sin. That's why he was willing to kill him. The Messiah has to be killed. The Messiah has to die for the sin of the world. If my son is the one that has to die, then so be it. We kind of get a hint of this. Because when they say, after all this, he says, and I'm going to go up in the mountain and make a sacrifice and we'll be back. I'm talking about he and his son, as if there's going to be a resurrection. Abraham knows he's going to kill his son, but he promises we'll be back. Well, that's all one thing. But it's this testing. Give your son. Sacrifice your son. Now, God was not tempting Abraham to sin. Our epistle lesson talk makes that clear, right? God tempts no one to sin. But God was testing. Would Abraham be faithful? Just like Jesus was tested in the wilderness, would Jesus be faithful? Just like when God tests you, are you going to be faithful when God puts options before you? Which option are you going to pick? God never leads you into sin. But sometimes he tests our faith. Satan is the one who puts options before us with the desire that we will disobey, with the desire that we'll fall and we'll fall into temptation, we'll wander away from God. That's all the devil. That's Satan and his demons. A mighty fortress, right? He protects us from all that. He tests God, however. God doesn't tempt us, but he does test us. He tests our service. He tests our resolve. He tests our obedience, and Abraham was facing the testing. Now, this is a difficult passage for some because they say, why would God tell a father to kill his son? That's a difficult question. I hope I answered it for you, but there are all kinds of difficult questions for which only the Lord knows the answer. To be sure, however, you can bet you'll never be asked by God to do such a difficult thing. He'll never test your faith and ask you to kill one of your children. He's never going to test you in a way that you're going to do such a terrible thing and then stop you just in the nick of time before you do that horrible act. And Paul wrote, whatever was written in the former days, written in the Old Testament, was written for our instruction. We're to learn from it. So that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. God wants us to live in hope. God wants us to learn from this, all right? He wants us to believe, and he wants us to know that he always keeps his promises, he always provides. Ultimately, God tested Abraham. And the purpose, to make Abraham stronger. Test him to strengthen him. Test him to bless him. That's what testings do. They strengthen us. They bless us. And how does God test you? And you bet he does. When we're tested, the ultimate purpose of every test of God is always to strengthen. It's always that we might believe that God provides, no matter the struggle. Abraham was about to learn that lesson too. When God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, Abraham didn't argue. Abraham didn't disagree. Abraham didn't even ask for a reason why. And what's more impressive, Abraham didn't waver. The next morning, he had his bags packed. He was off and off and running, ready to go, sacrifice, kill his son, the son he loved, his only son. No hesitation, no detours, no delay. Abraham was faithful. God had spoken. And immediately, he sends forth to sacrifice his son to the Lord. And the heart of the question, the heart of the narrative this morning, the whole story, is a question and an answer. The question asked by Isaac, Father, we have the wood for the sacrifice. We have the knife. to kill the sacrifice, but Father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? That question must have crushed Abraham's heart. It's a fair question. Logical. And the answer came from Abraham, the Lord will provide. Why was Abraham considered such a great man of faith? Because of moments like this. Abraham spoke what he believed. The Lord will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. But there was only one problem. God hadn't provided anything yet. And God wouldn't provide anything. Even when the knife was raised and he was ready to plunge it into the heart of his son, even at that very moment, God waited until he said, wait, stop. And he put an end to the horrible test just in the nick of time. But what about the sacrifice? Was there going to be a sacrifice? Oh, there had to be a sacrifice on that mountain. There had to be a sacrifice on that mountain. There was a substitute, a ram, caught in the thicket. And they went and they got the ram and they sacrificed the ram and did, you know, deliver it to God. A substitute. Now I want you to connect the gospel dots. All right? Connect the dots. Jesus is our substitute. They're on a mountain, and a ram is given as substitute. A substitute son. Consider this. Isaac carried the wood for his own sacrifice, the wood on which he would be laid on the altar. Jesus, many years later, carried the wood on which he would be sacrificed as well. Connect the spiritual dots. He's our substitute. The ram died. Jesus died. Instead of us, the Lord will provide one life for all the others. The life of God that we might live. That's what Lent's all about. Lent is our journey with Jesus to the cross so that the Lamb of God can die. Because he has to die on that mountain. A substitute. And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide a sacrifice. And God did. Today we call that place Mount Moriah. But more importantly, we call it Mount Calvary. That holy mountain where God provided a sacrifice, a Savior, His own dear Son, the Lamb. And Abraham believed the Lord will provide. The Lord's going to provide this gift, this life. He's a great man of faith. But how about you when you're tested? The Lord will provide? Will he? Yes or no? What does your life say? Does God provide a sacrifice? Has God provided a sacrifice for your life? Again, I want you to connect the gospel dots. Okay, connect the dots. The place where all of this happened is the exact place where Abraham sacrificed or tried to sacrifice his son Isaac is the exact place where they built the mount, the temple on the mount. The place where God lived with his people. The place where he sacrificed his son is the very same place where 2,000 years later Jesus would be sacrificed. You think that's coincidence? Or do you think that maybe God is the Lord of history? God tested Abraham's faith, but what happens when God tests your faith? Do you know that he's going to provide? Do you believe? When your life is spiraling downward with health issues or whatever is making it spiral, when your faith is under fire, Can you calmly confess with faithful Abraham, the Lord will provide? Or how about the testing when your money's all gone? Or when your friends and family abandon you, or when you feel all alone? When the doctor's prognosis is not good? Do you believe the Lord will provide? Do you think about all that? Or do you simply give up because life gets hard, because the testing is too difficult? Give up, give in, and conclude, God's against me. It seems that's what some do. God's against me. When you feel buried by your sin, when you feel buried by the guilt of your past, because you know the commandments and you know you've broken them, when you've distanced yourself from God, do you believe that God still provides salvation for you? That there's a sacrifice for you? What do you do with all your guilt? What do you do with all your shame? What do you do with all your sin? Well, that's what Lent is all about. Put it at the foot of Jesus. Put it at the cross of Jesus. The sacrifice is a substitute. He dies so you don't die. He's punished so you won't get punished. He died so that you will live free from sin, free from the power of the devil, free from all those burdens. And at that moment, as you lay your sins before Jesus, what you need is absolution. You need to hear those words, your sins are forgiven. God provides a Savior for you, His blood shed for you, His body given for you. And you need to hear the message. God's forgiveness is for you. And I can declare that to you with confidence. Your sins are forgiven. God has provided a lamb of sacrifice. John the Baptist makes sure it's clear. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified. He died and He was buried. Why? To provide a substitute for you. Again, I want you to connect the gospel dots. Connect the dots. Abraham's whole ordeal was merely a preview. Abraham and Isaac's ordeal was merely a preview of God the Father and God the Son's ordeal. Just a shadow of what's to come. Isaac was spared. Jesus wasn't. Abraham did not have to grieve the loss of his son. God the Father did. And Paul spells it out, God who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also graciously give us all things? The fact that God is willing to do all that to save you should say something. The fact that God was willing to send his son should tell you everything you need to know about God and his love. His love will come to you, rain or shine. Through test and through trial, even through temptation. God knows your need. God knows your pain. God knows your life. God knows everything about you. And what does He do about all that? He sends a substitute, a sacrifice to save you. And don't think for a moment that just because God is omniscient and because God is all-powerful, that somehow He was impervious to the pain. No, God watched His Son suffer and it hurt. And Jesus died on the cross and it hurt. Jesus died as our substitute. Why did He go through all that? Why did He go through all the grief? Why did He go through all the pain? Why did God the Father do it? Why? Can you take a guess? He loves you. He also knows that without the substitute, you're going to die. He's not going to let that happen. So he sent the gift of life. Listen, when you're buried beneath a heavy load of sin, and when your soul is burdened and tested and by the trials of this world, remember, connect the gospel dots. Faith testing. It happened to Abraham. Faith testing may come. But when those tests of faith come, remember, God provides a sacrifice. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.